The In Our Eyes podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded, and we pay our respects to the elders past, present, and future. Welcome to the In Our Eyes podcast, a podcast created by the Deakin Optometry Alumni team for our fellow alumni and students. In each episode, we will be talking to a different individual about their optometry smarts, career, and experiences, hence the title, In Our Eyes. If there are any topics you'd like to hear us cover or have any questions, please head on over to our Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn and send us your thoughts. Also, as a great bonus, all of these episodes can be logged as CPD. For a reminder on how to manually enter this into your learning plan, you can find an explainer on our Instagram stories. This is a series we call Pathways in Optometry, where we talk to different alumni about their experiences in business, research, and more. Now, let's kick off. Mary King graduated from Deakin University in 2019, where she started her optometry career at Specsavers Mooney Ponds. She transitioned into a new role in 2023 as Graduate Optometry Development Manager, ANZ, at Specsavers. In this role, Mary Kim supports the personal and professional development of graduates within the two-year industry-leading Specsavers graduate program, and she also provides tools and resources for best practice mentorship for their primary mentors. So, Mary Kim is being interviewed by myself, Jessie Wiley. We actually went to uni together. Welcome to the In Our Eyes podcast.
Thank you, Jessie, and what a wonderful introduction. It is so nice to see you again since university. It feels like it was just yesterday, and it's crazy to say that it's been 5 years, actually, since graduated.
That's a bit scary.
Yeah.
So at the top there, I kind of read through your bio, and it's pretty remarkable what you've done since uni, like in that 5 years and the role you're in now. But do you want to tell us about your background and where you started?
Yeah, of course. So you know what? This is going to make me sound really old, but this goes back to almost a decade ago where I started university. And at that point in time when I was in high school, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. So I ended up keeping it broad and applying for a Bachelor of Science course at Melbourne University. Because in my head at the time, I just thought, look, you know, once I'm in university, I'll just know what I want to do. And halfway through this course, I honestly still didn't know what I was passionate about. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And even if I had completed the Bachelor's of Science course at Melbourne University, I wouldn't be able to find a job. So halfway through, I ended up applying for various courses that could get me a job afterwards.
Yep.
So like physiotherapy, oral health, nursing, and optometry. And truthfully, optometry wasn't my first preference just because it was in Geelong and I was in Melbourne at the time. So in 2016, I started the Bachelor's of Vision Science Master of Optometry course at Deakin University. And I did it just because I got into it. However, it was a turning point for me at my first ever placement observation at the ACO. Jessie, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember your placement?
I do.
Ever, like, observation. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, this was my turning point because it was a patient that had a really rare bilateral macular dystrophy. So he had very low vision and he couldn't work because of this. And mind you, he actually traveled 3 hours from Shepparton just to come to this appointment.
Oh.
And his whole family, so his kids and his wife, were still in Pakistan. And he was in the process of sponsoring them over, and it had been a year and nothing had happened for him. So this whole time he'd be living alone by himself, yeah, in Shepparton, not working. And despite all of his hardships, he was so grateful. He was so happy and so grateful for our service. And mind you, the optometrist couldn't change his vision because of the dystrophy. Like, we couldn't even make it any better than it was, but it didn't matter to him. He was just so grateful that we saw him and that we were there to answer any of his questions. Honestly, it was kind of at that moment that I realized that, you know, we as optometrists have the ability to change someone's life, no matter how big or small, and that it would be something fulfilling for me. So it was in the second year that I experienced this.
Wow.
So at that moment, I was really grateful because before then I just did optometry just because I got into it. And then at that point, I was so grateful that I was studying this course to become, you know, an optometrist. And during my time at Deakin, I actually struggled with dispensing classes. And I found that the other students that really excelled were those that were dispensers.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
So then I got really inspired and I applied to work at various practices near home. And Specsavers was the first to get back to me. And do you remember Sarah, Jessie?
Yes, I do remember Sarah.
She's wonderful. But Sarah was my first touch point. And she was a graduate recruiter for Deakin. And at the time, she supported Deakin students with dispensing jobs as well. And she was just so helpful from end to end. Like I remember being so nervous about this interview because I wanted so bad. I really wanted to work in optometry, like as a dispenser. However, she gave me all the tips and the tools and the guidance to prepare for this interview. And not even 5 minutes after the interview, she called me straight away just to be like, how did you find it? Just for a check-in.
Yeah.
So in 2017, I got my first job as an optical assistant at Specsavers in Camberwell. Mm-hmm. And I had a great experience there. The partners really invested in my development. I was given proper training. So they actually, you know, paid for days for me to visit the support office. And, you know, as a student, I was just so amazed because out of all my jobs since 16, I've never had this proper training before. So then it came to, you know, our final year at Deakin and we had to start thinking about clinical placements.
Yeah.
And that's when I met Sarah again. So yep. I kind of already had that relationship with her and she was just so lovely and approachable. And she was the one that helped align me with my 6 months of clinical placement. And I chose to deal with Specsavers because I had such a good experience already as an optical assistant. And placement was wonderful. It was, I feel like university will teach us everything that we need to know, all the textbook stuff, but it's not until you actually go out there with your hands-on experience can you experience what life would be like as an optometrist. And I gained a lot of confidence and experience through seeing patients myself. Towards the end of placement, I realized that I also shared the same values as Specsavers in a sense that we want to be able to provide affordable and accessible eye care for everyone, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of anything, we will give them that service. And that is why I decided to join Specsavers as an optometrist.
Mm.
So that was my, you know, bit of background on being.
Yeah. That story about like the first patient is like so beautiful.
I know. I'm so proud of what we can do as optometrists. And I'm so glad I had that moment because I didn't have that passion beforehand. And I still think about that. And it's been years. Not only was it made me grateful for, you know, this role as an optometrist, but also, you know, made me realize that we're so blessed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just how gratefulness can you just really go a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an, oh, wow. So like you said, you took your grad role with Specsavers, you're a qualified optometrist, you're in Moonee Ponds. And so after 6 years working like with Specsavers, you began your current role as graduate optometry development manager for Australia and New Zealand. So that's phenomenal. Like what drew you to that role and what does it involve? Like what does it look like?
So it was a bit of a path because obviously when I joined Moonee Ponds as a graduate, I was part of the two-year Specsavers graduate program, which meant that I had structured support throughout this, which is so important. You know, when you're going from being a full-time student into an early career optometrist, that support is necessary. And when I joined Moonee Ponds as a fresh graduate, I just remember being so scared of having a scary mentor, someone that didn't understand me or someone who would make me feel like I wasn't good enough to be an optometrist. Like all these imposter syndrome thoughts were really in my head at the time.
Yeah.
However, he was just so patient. He gave great feedback and he always checked in on my mental well-being as well. And not only was he a mentor, but he really became a friend. And it was just the mentor that I really needed when I started out. And towards the end of this program, they really get you thinking about what your career aspirations are. And so at this point, it was around 2 years practicing as an optometrist. And I had to think about what I wanted for myself in the future. And I honestly didn't know at the time. I was looking at my peers and a good half of them were really passionate about partnership and becoming their own, you know, having their own store. And the other half loved the idea of flexibility in the workforce and being a locum. But that didn't resonate with me. But what did was mentorship. I thought about how my mentor was so supportive when I started out, and he really built me to become the confident optometrist that I am today. And he gave me the best start to my career. And I kind of wanted to pay that forward. Aww. You know, I wanted to be that mentor for someone else. So around, you know, after a couple of years, I told my directors at the time that's what I was passionate about. And we were having a graduate relocate to our store. So I was able to get that hands-on experience with mentoring.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then, like after mentoring them, it really instilled in me, this is actually what I really, really enjoy. You know, I was still keeping in touch with the graduate optometry team because I had them on LinkedIn. So I would see what they would get up to. You know, around after 4 years of practicing as an optometrist, I saw there was an opportunity to join their team as a graduate optometry development manager, and that the role was to, you know, support all of the graduates with their development as they transition being a student to an early career optometrist. And just me knowing how passionate I was about mentorship, I knew this was the next right step in my career.
Yeah.
So I've been in my role now for almost a year and a half now.
That's amazing. My gosh. Having a good mentor can just be so different as far as how you feel in yourself and your confidence continue in different aspects of the career as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine finishing university and then stepping forward to your professional career without that mentorship. Someone to go to for questions or concerns. I just would really struggle my self-confidence as, you know, personally and also as an optometrist if that was the case. And Jesse, did you have good mentorship when you started?
Thanks for throwing a question back. The host becomes the podcast.
Jesse, I took my voice already.
No, I had phenomenal mentors, especially during my final year placement. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been 5 years since we graduated, but I've recently just started a job back with my original mentors, and it's just been phenomenal. Like, having such a good relationship personally, but also professionally with the people that you trust. Now back to you, lovely podcast guest. So in your current role, like, what does a normal day look like? Like, I guess from a clinical point of view, do you still see patients, or are you mostly traveling or are you
in
meetings and meeting grads? Like, how does it look for you?
So at the end of the day, my main role is to provide support for our graduates, and it depends on their stage of their development because it's a two-year course, and the support they need at the very beginning is very different to what it looks like halfway through, after a year of experience, and towards the end. So we prioritize the professional development of graduates by hosting workshops throughout the program. And the content that we go through is based on their feedback, their questions that they have, as well as graduate data that we have as well. We also do loop in with industry experts. We work very closely with some of the biggest names who lead certain topics. So no day is ever really the same.
Yeah.
It depends on the time of year. So right now, I'm gearing up, like my team, we're gearing up for graduate induction for our August cohorts. So we've got our DEAC graduates and our University of Canberra graduates that are, like, they've already started in practice, most of them now.
Yep.
So after 2 weeks of them starting, we host graduate induction in Melbourne, where we go through all the Spectavis training that they need to help set them up as they join our stores. So we go through content like the products, how to use our systems, contact lenses, everything that would be useful for them at this point whilst they're starting out. As an optometrist now, I don't see patients in my role. So I still locum here and there to see patients and ensure that I still remember how to use Evolve lens. But what I do is I do host workshops, and we do talk about optometry content. So, you know, for graduate induction, I'll be hosting sessions about Medicare and what best practice looks like when it comes to billing Medicare. I talk about, you know, the difference from refraction and what to prescribe to the patient. What else do I go through? I also will be going through therapeutics with them as well. So it is still honing in my optometry knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I can empathize with them. Yeah. I know what they go through. So it's just more about me and relationship building with the graduates as well. Yeah. And I'm not going to shy away from the fact that it can be a challenge adjusting to a whole new workforce. So my team are here to work through any challenges that graduates may be facing in their transition.
And so you said you're Melbourne-based at the moment.
Yes, yes.
And you're also looking after New Zealand grads. So are you also traveling a lot to New Zealand and interstate? And
yeah, so there's travel involved. So some workshops, we actually fly graduates across Australia and New Zealand to Melbourne to host our events. And we also have some events where my team actually fly to the different regions and meet the graduates and partners and their mentors as well. So yes, flying is a part of my job. Actually, it's a cool part of my job. I should have mentioned that. And that just reminds me when I applied for this role, and I remember the recruiter at the time on the phone, she was like, "How do you feel about working hybrid?" And I was like, "Oh, that's so weird as an optometrist to be able to work from home."
That is so foreign. We need a patient. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean vibrant?
Yeah. Because at the time, I've always been seeing patients, and she said it's a hybrid role. So, you know, some days in the office, some days working from home. And I was like, how will they know if I'm working? You know, I don't know if I'm not working in practice because I'm obviously not seeing patients, you know? And they're like, look, there will always be work for you to do. So you will always be busy with work. So trust me, you would be working. And and they're like, can you fly for work? And I was like, but that's so cool. Of course I can fly, you know, for work. And it's so good. And the main reason why I love it is more so that I can see the graduates face to face. So we still have some events that are virtual, but most of them are face to face, which I really, really appreciate.
In your role as a clinical working optometrist, you're seeing patients all day, you're problem solving, and in your current role now, like, you still see patients sometimes, as you said, but you're also dealing more with, like, people and content delivery and managing relationships. So are there, like, obviously that comes with a new set of challenges, but are there, like, new challenges that you've had to rethink and reset and be like, okay, I'm more of a people interpersonal relationship. Like, that's my job now instead of managing patients for...
Well, for myself, I've always known that I'm a people's person. Like, I love, you know, love people. And I think that's why I was so excited to work in, like, the support office, because I knew it was a massive team there. Yeah. Whereas I remember when I was at Moody Plus, it was a team of four optometrists. And I just, and also we've got our dispensing staff as well. And I've always, you know, wanted how it'd be to have a bigger team, because I just love meeting people. So honestly, that would be what I love the most about my current role. And I think as an optometrist, what was really fulfilling for myself was patient care. Obviously, you know, being in this role, I'm not facing patients day to day anymore. But what I find really fulfilling now is what I get from the graduates, like me being able to support them. And some of them, I meet them before they're graduates. I meet them as students. Aww. And seeing them, you know, grow into confident health practitioners is so fulfilling. I feel like such a proud mom with these guys. And a challenge for this role, honestly, when I started, was public speaking. And they did tell me that part of the role, how do you feel about public speaking? And honestly, as an optometrist, there's really no time for us to hone in on these skills, because it's just us and the patient.
Us and our patient in a dark room.
Exactly.
On an endless day.
Also, Jesse, when I was at Deakin as well, in group projects, I was definitely not the person that would be like, guys, let me take ownership of public speaking. However, I enjoy it now, which is so crazy to say, because when I first started, it would give me butterflies. I couldn't stop thinking about it, get really nervous and sweaty. And now I genuinely enjoy public speaking. I think it's because of the audience. Yeah. I think it's because I'm talking to graduates and that they were just like me, you know, just a few years ago. I don't feel nervous about anymore. And if anything, I low-key enjoy public speaking now.
You've done 180.
Yeah, so that was something.
Yeah, it's funny though, because like you said before, like, your mentor as a grad was like super important and pivotal in you becoming the optometrist you are. And I feel like having you as an extra support person would just be great.
Yeah.
And it makes sense why you're in that role, because you are easy to talk to and grads can come to you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you, like, I guess as well, how do you see, like, New Zealand compares to us, and then how do you see, like, optometry change, I guess?
Optometry in New Zealand and Australia is honestly, it's actually quite different, and it's mainly because of Medicare. So our New Zealand optometrists, they're not as lucky as we are here, as they don't get access to publicly funded healthcare. And I also imagine, you know, the demographic is quite different between the two as well, due to just different ethnicities that we see in Australia and New Zealand. And in terms of future, I think I'm kind of seeing it the way you are as well, Jesse. And this reminds me, the other day I read an article by Kaiba. Do you remember Kaiba? Because you're a demon.
He's putting up the WA course now. How phenomenal.
I know. He's now the Canadian contractor at UWA. And he shared one of his articles and it outlined the scope of practice in other parts of the world. So right now, like optometrists in the UK, parts of the US, and specialist optometrists in New Zealand can actually perform laser procedures. However, in Australia, it's not in our current scope of practice. But given, I feel like in the future, just given, you know, our current demographic it's an aging population. So we will be having high prevalence of pathology. And for us to provide the access to care, I do feel that our Australian optometrists will be able to widen the scope of practice to, you know, lasers, injectables and oral therapies, like you've mentioned as well. Like that's where it's heading towards, which is actually good.
It's really exciting, I think.
Yeah, we have to adapt with the time.
And like, it's funny you mentioned that about optometrists doing like lasers. You might remember Amanda from the first cohorts. Fellow at Deakin alumni, Amanda Edgar. She went over with a couple of other optometrists, I think, from Deakin and around the area to the States and did the Academy Optometry course. And they actually practiced like YAG and stuff.
She's
done like a little course on it.
That is
incredible. So cool. And it's, like as you said, with an aging population, a bit of a crisis as far as rural ophthalmology care as well. There's more and more care management happening already. I agree. I think it's pretty exciting. Especially, we recently just released an episode with Tim, who's also from our cohort, who's just submitted his PhD on artificial intelligence in optometry. His kind of PhD was all about AI, particularly in the areas of diabetic retinopathy and retinal screening. And that's already like used in some practices, and other health use AI to write notes and referrals and letters and stuff like that. So
So much has happened since we've graduated. Like over the last 5 years, I feel like so much has happened. And I think as clinicians, we just got to adapt with the changes. For our patients.
Just keep adapting. And it's been phenomenal, Mary Kim. My final query and like question, thinking about our audience, we've got fellow alumni that listen, but also you having a massive involvement in graduates and student roles and things like that. What kind of tips would you have to other optometrists in the industry who might be interested in a role like yours? And the second part of the question would be, what tips would you have for students kind of just entering the workforce?
But firstly, just take the time to figure it out. As they graduate, just try everything. Experience everything. See all types of patients, you know. Don't be selective with your patients. See everyone. See everything. Really get that hands-on experience before you go into a niche practice. Once you figure out for yourself what you're passionate about, make it known to your mentors, because people in your profession can really help you get it there. So if you're passionate about mentorship like I was, I told my mentors, and that's how they got me with that experience to mentor the graduates and the clinical placement students. And with that hands-on experience, I was able to figure out for myself that, yes, this is something I'm really, really passionate about. So yeah, my biggest tip is, you know, for students and graduates to really experience everything. And my tip for overall for anyone on this journey is, wherever you are in your journey, take the time to connect with people genuinely.
Yeah.
So every single patient that I've ever seen, I wanted to get to know them. You know, they are, yes, they're here for a presenting complaint. However, I dive into their lifestyle to understand their day to day so that I can provide recommendations to make their life easier. And you will get patients that do come back to see you every year because you built that relationship. And that's the same with your team. Your dispensers, your optometry team, your store partners, your mentors. I've just been so grateful for everyone that I've met along my journey. And that's from university to when I was an optical assistant at Camberwell to my clinical placements across two practices, to my very first store at, you know, Mini Ponds, and now my support office role. And every single person that has been on my journey has shaped me who I am today. And that's not just my mentor. Like, I still keep in top contact with the dispenser I met. when I was in Canberra on placement. So I feel like these people are what made my journey what it is today, and I'm super grateful for it. So that's my biggest tip for students and optometrists.
Yeah,
as well.
It's so different, like a workplace that has a good foundation of people. You enjoy your work along. You enjoy the coming to work. It doesn't feel like work. Pretty special when you've got that relationship. That's I 100% agree with like what you said at the top there about like make your desires and your passions known to like people who can help make it happen, because that's one of the biggest things. And even in other industries, if you don't ever ask, there's no chance of it ever happening. Like even if you just have an informal chat with a boss or a coworker and say, look, if there's any chance for me working part-time, I'm keen on it. Oh, if there's any chance for me to do this outreach work, I'm keen on it. Like if you don't tell people, they won't keep it in the back of their head, and then things
will happen. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's unreal. And you're now helping all these other 440 people in their career.
It's what I do. It's so fulfilling. And I just feel like I've come a full circle. Like, you know, I mentioned Sarah at the very beginning, and now I work. Like, I sit next to her. And the team was just so wonderful in supporting me with my transition as well. There's a lot of optometrists that work in support office, and we're just one big team here with the same goal. You know, we want to make sure all of our optometrists are given the best experience possible in store.
That's amazing. It's been absolutely enlightening. It's been nice to catch up personally, but it's been really nice to catch up. Like, I guess for the people who are listening, wherever they may be listening, and hear about your role, but also what took you there. And for the students and grads listening, just things to keep in the back of their mind. It's really, really special and really important too. So thank you so much for being part of our podcast and for your time today. It's been amazing.
Thank you so much, Jesse, and firstly for reaching out to me. It was so lovely when you reached out to me, because I was like, it's been so long since we've had a catch up. Yeah. And for listening in and for being such a wonderful host and hearing my story. And I really hope that it can be an inspiration to, you know, students or graduates out there that are in optometry, that there are so many things you could do with optometry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye.
So, that's the show for today, folks. Thank you for joining us for this episode of In Our Eyes. We hope you enjoyed it. Also, a reminder that you can log this manually as CPD in your learning plan. For a refresher on how to do this, you can head over to our Instagram stories. Feel free to share this episode amongst your pals. Let us know your thoughts and reach out if you have any topics or questions for us. Or even if you have any guests you'd like us to have on. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is not an official Deakin University media production and is created by alumni. The views, comments, and opinions expressed within this podcast are those held by individuals and are not associated or representative of Deakin University.